playing, Miss Diane, beautiful singing, Robert, and beautiful singing choir. Y'all did awesome. That was great. I love to hear God's people singing praises to Him. It's a beautiful sound. All right, before we dismiss for Children's Church, we're going to go ahead and continue in our observation of Advent. And so we're in our second week of observing Advent together. This week, we're focusing on peace. Peace is a very valuable commodity because it's very hard to find in the world that we're living in. Many people look all over the world searching for true and lasting peace, only to be ultimately disappointed. But followers of Christ, we have found peace, haven't we? True and lasting peace. We have found that peace in Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, so last week, the Wades lit the candle of hope for us. And this week, I want to invite the Whittingtons to come up now. They're going to light the candle of peace. And when y'all come up, if y'all will, just light two of these purple candles here. Represent hope last week and peace this week. While they are lighting the candles, I'm going to read a couple of verses for us. The first verse I'm going to read is prophetic because it pointed ahead to the birth of Christ. And the second verse is celebratory because it happened after Jesus' birth and it proclaims the wonderful truth of where our peace is found. All right, so the first verse is Isaiah 9:6. For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. So that's Isaiah 9:6. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, that's talking about our salvation, since we've been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus came to be the Prince of Peace. And the word peace in the Hebrew is the word shalom. And it means completeness or well-being. And you see, Jesus did not just come to end wars. He's going to end all wars someday. But he didn't only come for that. Jesus came to make us complete by saving us from our sinfulness. All we have to do is trust in Jesus as the Son of God who came to save us. And we will have the peace or the shalom of God. Now, there are many areas in our lives that we don't always have peace, right? Such as in relationships with friends or family or coworkers. Sometimes we don't have peace in those relationships. Sometimes we don't feel any peace because our schedules are so hectic that we never seem to slow down and we always feel like we're running and we're behind and we don't feel peace, right? There's many different areas in our lives that from time to time we're going to severely lack peace in those areas. But God can provide peace in all of those situations when we trust Him to lead us in our daily lives. But the most important area that we need to have peace is between us and God. We need to have peace between us and God. The Bible tells us that in our sinful condition we were enemies of God. But because of the blood of Jesus, we can have peace with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for the peace that comes from you, God. We can find it nowhere else, Lord. So help us not to look anywhere else. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. Help us, Lord, to look for our peace in you. And help us to share that peace with the world around us. I pray that when we walk out of this building and we go about our day, I pray that the world will be able to see the love of Christ in us and they'll be able to recognize the peace that only comes from you in us, God. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for the hope that we celebrated last week, and we thank you, Lord, for the peace that we celebrate this week as we continue in Advent, Lord. So, God, just help us to keep those things in mind this Christmas season. We love you, and we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, thank you, William and Elaine. Y'all can have a seat. I appreciate y'all lighting the candles for us this week. All right, now at this time, we'll go ahead and dismiss for Children's Church. So, kids, y'all have fun. Everybody else, if you will, open up with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. got a birthday or anniversary this month, we're going to sing to you next week, all right?
I forgot. Sorry
about that. Oh, no, that's all right. I forgot to you. No problem. All right. Luke chapter 2. Last week, we started a new sermon series, The Characters of Christ. The Characters of Christmas, I'm sorry. And we talked about Mary and Joseph. And so this week, we're going to talk, we're going to turn our attention to the shepherds. And in this series, The Characters of Christmas, we're looking at the people that were involved in the Christmas story, and we're seeing if we can learn from their experience things that we can apply in our own lives. So let's begin. We're going to read in just a few moments about the shepherds. Let's begin with how the shepherds were viewed in the time of Jesus. Let me go ahead and just say it was not favorably. The shepherds were not very high on the list of importance, or they weren't very well respected. In fact, they were despised by the religious authorities. The religious authorities of the temple, the priests, the people that were in charge of the goings-on at the temple, they had such a negative view of the shepherds that they would not allow them to participate in the ceremonies in the temple in Jerusalem. So think about that. We're told that the first people to whom God announced the birth of the Messiah were people who couldn't even enter the temple and worship God. Right? God chose to reveal the birth to people that weren't even deemed good enough to go into the temple and worship. Now, there was something called the Mishnah. It was a it's been written down, but back then it was an oral Jewish tradition, and it was very authoritative for Jewish life. And in the Mishnah, it includes some unkind passages about shepherds. It says, shepherds are incompetent. It says, shepherds, if one falls into a pit, then no one should feel obligated to help them get out. So imagine being a shepherd in a society where the religious leaders, who were the main authorities during that time, where they taught you that if you found somebody that was a shepherd and they were trapped and needed help, you didn't need to feel obligated to help them. So just imagine, if we were to imagine that scenario today, pretend that you're heading somewhere and your tire blows out, and you find yourself stuck on the side of the road, but you know that everybody that passes you, because they've been taught that you're not even worthy to be helped, they're just going to keep on going. Nobody's going to stop and help you. That was the social standing of the shepherds when the angels showed up and announced the birth of our Savior. So with all that in mind, let's go ahead and look now at Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 8 through 20. Start with verse 8. It says, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they hurried off, and they found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. We thank you for your word, O Lord. So I got a couple of observations, a couple of application points about the text that we just read. But before we get to that, we're going to do something a little bit different. I've shown video clips before, but I think this is going to be the longest one that I've ever shown. And I wouldn't show it if I didn't think it was going to be worth it. I think this short film that we're about to watch, called The Shepherd, it really helps us get a picture of what these verses that we just read in Luke could have been like. So we're going to watch The Shepherd now. You guys have it ready? Okay. We're going to watch that, and then after it's done, I'll have some application for us.
But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up unto the time when she who is in labor has given birth, and he shall be their peace. A reading from the scroll of the prophet Micah.
He did not say...
How dare you?
I'm sorry, teacher. He is obsessed.
He brought this animal? I said spotless.
Spotless, yes.
These are for righteous men. For the perfect sacrifice.
Very sorry. Very sorry. Very sorry.
You wonder why the Messiah hasn't come? people like you were keeping him away with your stains. If you come back here without a perfect lamb, I will banish you all from the marketplace.
I warned you about this. Are you deaf as well as lame?
I'm sorry.
We are not slowing down for you. You take this ride back up to the hill and try and keep up. Or find your own way back.
Have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divided the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of
you
his oppressor,
to listen?
No, this is all your place.
Please, you are killing me. Go!
For every boot of a weeping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Strengthen the weak hands.
Excuse me, friend. Could you put me to a well in this town? My wife hasn't had a drink in hours.
At the other end of the square.
Thank you, brother.
Well, wait a minute. Here.
Oh, thank you for your kindness.
How far have you come?
From Galilee, Nazareth.
Don't say that too loud here. You know, they say, nothing good can come from
I know what they say about Nazareth.
Don't worry, I won't tell anyone. Secret safe with me.
Thank you for the kindness.
And my name is Simon.
Out of my way.
We must go.
Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy. A reading from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah.
Yes, well, next time, I would wipe my hands with his robe. Oh. You would faint.
A Pharisee is so cheap. When he writes his will, he names himself as the heir.
But then he still doesn't get much. No. Finally, he's back.
Hello, Simon.
Stay with the sheep. He is useless. Why do you keep him around?
He's a good boy.
You want some dinner?
Fine.
Aaron made dinner tonight, so nothing is cooked. The food is fine. It's my grandmother's recipe, so leave it alone.
Then that is why your grandfather left.
again and again.
They take whatever they want.
Oh, I wish that woman would have not left the well.
Oh, she would. She would.
Very good. Mm.
Can I have my dinner now?
Not with us.
No.
Your plate is over there.
I know what happened this morning. You sleep with a sheep tonight.
Pay attention this time.
And watch out for wolves.
Watch out for the Pharisee. He might come after you.
Mm-hmm.
A Roman took another sheep yesterday.
Simon, they're talking about the Romans again.
They took it right in front of me.
You're lucky. You're lucky you're not part of this conversation. But Romans, again and again.
Let's talk about something else.
Thank you. To come back here. So where is it? Have you found a spotless lamb for sacrifice?
So let's look back through verses 8 through 10. We won't have these on the screen. I'm going to read them for us again. Verse 8 says, "In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" The good news of Jesus is for everyone. See, I don't think it is random. I don't think it was accidental that God chose to reveal the good news of Jesus' birth to a group of shepherds. I don't think that was an accident at all. I believe that God wants us and he wants everyone to know that his love is available to everyone. And there are no requirements other than repentance and faith. You don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to be known by a lot of people. You only have to repent of your sins and accept in faith that Jesus paid the price for those sins, and then you're born again. That's why the gospel is truly good news for everyone. So even though these shepherds were not accepted by many people in their culture, the angel visited them and told them not to be afraid because he had good news of great joy for all the people. Jesus' birth was good news then, and it's still good news today. Not just for some people, it's good news for who? All the people, for everyone. Amen. All right, here's the second takeaway. Number two, anyone can be a witness for Jesus. Anyone. Now, I'm aware that, in my preaching, I tend to make a lot of points that are pretty similar from week to week in my sermons. The reason that I tend to emphasize and re-emphasize some points is because I believe God wants us to hear what he's saying, and sometimes we need to hear it a lot before it sinks in. Amen. You see, the world is constantly communicating to us, whether we realize it or not. We're constantly receiving messages every single day, and many times the messages that we're receiving are negative. They're not affirming in any way. They're not encouraging. We constantly receive messages about all the things that we're lacking, all the reasons that we don't measure up, right? So when many of us think about sharing our faith, when we think about being a witness, there are all kinds of reasons that we can't do it instantly pop into our minds, right? All kinds of reasons that we're sure we're going to fail if we tell somebody else what it's like to have a relationship with Jesus. Those things pop into our minds, like, I'm not a strong enough believer, or I don't know the Bible well enough, or I'm going to get tongue-tied if I try to talk to somebody about my faith, right? We've probably all thought something like that at one time or another, and yet the truth of Scripture still remains that we are all called to be witnesses for Jesus. So it's really great news for us that God could use the shepherds to be a witness for him. Listen again to Luke chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. It says, they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. See, all they had to do was tell others what they had learned about Jesus. And if God can use shepherds, God can use you and me. Amen?
Amen.
When I look at the world around us, I see a lot of people looking for encouragement and hope. And I see a lot of different places that people go looking for that encouragement and hope. And they most often end up disappointed in what they find. But as the church, we have the answer for what people are looking for. Anyone can be a witness. So let's start praying for opportunities to be a witness.
Amen.
And let's start praying for the courage to follow through when God puts those opportunities in front of us. See, the Christmas season is a great opportunity for all of us to speak the truth. That's what God's word is. It's the truth. Some people are stressed out, trying to get everything done. It's got to be done this time of year. Some people are depressed because they're missing loved ones that have passed away. People are dealing with so many different things, and the holidays seem to magnify what people are going through. Right? If you were depressed before, it's like holiday season tends to amplify that. So let's make the most of the opportunity to be a witness to what Christmas is really all about. That's the truth that people need to hear. And that is where the hope that people desperately need is found. So anyone can be a witness. We need to remember that. Okay, here's the third takeaway from the account of the shepherds. like the shepherds, we should worship God for all that we have seen and heard this Christmas. Praise and worship should be our response when we think of what Christmas is all about. Listen to verse 20 again. It says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Shame on us if we allow the commercial aspects of Christmas to get all of our attention. I guarantee you, most of the gifts that we're going to give and receive will not be remembered months from now. Now, they have their place, right? They have their place, but Jesus has his place. He is high above everything else. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he reigns high above every other thing. Amen? So let's not miss the opportunity to celebrate and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords this Christmas season. He deserves all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, and he always will. God sent the angel to speak good news to the shepherds. Then God sent the shepherds to share that good news. And after they shared it, they went back praising the Lord. So I pray that what's true about the shepherds way back then will be true about us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for everything that we can learn as we look at the individuals that make up this Christmas story, God. We thank you for these shepherds that, even though they were not highly thought of in their culture, Lord, they were...